Hey, ladies, this is Jessica Iturole.
And I'm Barbara Saunders Livingston.
And we want to welcome you to the Seeking Holy podcast,
a podcast for women seeking Christ in a challenging world.
As you listen, we hope you'll be encouraged to open God's word, to seek Him, and strengthen your abiding relationship with Christ.
Whether you find yourself with plenty of time
or not enough time,
pour yourself a cup of coffee,
grab your Bible,
and join us for Seeking Holy.
Joy, peace, rest. What wonderful promises we have in the Lord. And there appears to be many women, people really, searching for either peace or rest or joy in their lives. And it's no wonder. These are natural desires of the human experience, and each one of these, peace, rest, and joy, are promised to us in God's word.
Amen.
So let's start right out the gate. Barbara and I, we do not claim to know all the answers,
no.
But we do claim that we have unlimited access to all the answers through the one who has all the answers. And girlfriend, so do you.
Amen. Yeah. So this one, our Lord, who calls himself and he presents himself as the Prince of Peace. I'm so eternally thankful that he made a way for us to experience real peace in everyday life, no matter what is happening. And we can enjoy peace through his presence, literally living on the inside of us. We experience peace believing the promises found in his word. The only way to come to know and discover these are to open the Bible and read about them and meditate on them. I also find great peace in the providence of God, you know, knowing he is creator and all things which occur happen under God's sovereignty, meaning he is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes.
Amen.
All these help me to maintain a calming peace within which I can operate in life.
Oh, how beautiful is that? All Amen. Things. For good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Praise Amen. God. So ladies, if you've ever wondered or felt that your Bible is overwhelming, outdated, archaic, and too high comprehensive, etc., I just want to gently remind you that the word of God is living and active. I know we're talking a little bit, Barbara touched on opening the word of God. So I just want to encourage you that the same scriptures that David rejoiced in and Paul clung to.
Yes.
It's the same scriptures that comforted George Mueller, Spurgeon, Torrey, and Martin Luther King. And it is the same word that applies to your very life and situation, this very moment of listening. When you're searching for peace, for rest, or looking to rediscover joy, how do you go about doing it? Perhaps you watch a little TV to take your mind off of things, so scroll through social media or crank up your worship music, or maybe like me, you break into your European chocolate stash that hopefully stays in. These are common ways we all seek, and I myself have sought to, you know, just feel a little better. Yet in light of the current global situation, the pandemic creeping by our doorstep, loved ones bracing their essential work on the front lines, our cities shrouded in sickness and death, the political climate in uproar, job security, future uncertainty. In just a matter of weeks, our lives have flipped upside down, and internally we wonder, where are we now? What is life now? We may very well see things eventually return to normal, but will life ever be quite the same? And bear with me, please. I'm not actually speaking a doomsday message, but I want to encourage you with an opportunity. Think of this. If all our comforts from the TV, my European chocolate, the worship music, I mean everything. If all of it was stripped away, what would be left? What would we draw from? In my research studying persecuted Christians, I've heard story after story of our brothers and sisters in the faith having no Bibles. Either they have no access or the Bibles were taken away, some even stripped from their home. And I remember one story where the family kept a sheet out of a hymnal, a crumpled up sheet, hidden, and it was their comforting reminder that God was still near in a place that was so, so dark and cold. There's another story of a family I actually know who lives in the U.S. now. And the husband, he was in prison for preaching and baptizing in his country, beaten often and confined in a dirty cell. You see, he had nothing else but him and Jesus, and only the memories of the verses he could recall, and mere verses of songs he could sing to himself. Interesting thing, on his birthday, he prayed for a special blessing as he was extremely weak and discouraged. I want to say he was sick. And on that day, he had a chance to visit the prison library, and he almost didn't go, but something made him just get up and go. And it just so happened that on one of the shelves inside the prison library was a New Testament disguised as another book. It had a cover and everything on it that was an entirely different book, but hidden inside was a New Testament. Wow. Man, can we imagine the gift? You see, the Word of God is spiritual food for the soul.
Yes.
It is alive, living. It was relevant 4,000 years ago, and it is relevant today.
Yes.
Have you noticed that you can read one passage at one point in your life and then read it again later and even later and get a whole new expounded view on the words?
Yes.
That's so neat that I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me, and I'll read it and I'll be like, oh, I'd never thought of this in this way.
Exactly.
Yes. That's the living evidence that his word is indeed alive.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So in examining the peace that surpasses all understanding that we all want, I want more and more peace in my life. I will never feel like I have enough peace. So in examining this, we're going to get deep. I know we keep saying that, but we feel the need to. We want you to come with us. So we're going to get deep. And in order to discover God's truth, to anchor us when the storms grumble and when the sea tosses us about. And we hope to give some practical application that we all can apply as well.
Yes, praise God that his word is found in so many unlikely places. You know, thank God I too found this gift of a copy of God's word in my jail cell. And I know I share this often, and I began reading the Bible while waiting for my sentencing. Thanks to the Gideons, you know, not only was I able to get my hands on a copy of God's word, but interesting to me that this is what the two church ladies who came by my cell told me that I could truly experience this joy and peace. And that's something that I had not truly ever known. And they said these were available by surrendering to Jesus in this life right now. And weren't just blessings that I had to wait to get to heaven to have. And see, I had not really, like I said, ever known true peace. I was drowning in a sea of torment and fear and terror, literally. And I was living in what I describe as living hell. On the contrary, what people don't really like to hear about, and the Bible speaks quite a lot about, is a place described as the very opposite of joy, peace, and rest, a place called hell being a place of eternal torment and of this weeping and gnashing of teeth. When I first read about that, I immediately thought of the demeanor that someone has while on methamphetamine. Now, I understand some of our listeners might not have ever had experiences with that or ever been around that. So there's those that are listening who know these manifestations on this drug. No rest for hours and hours, sometimes days and days. The mental torment and grinding of teeth, which accompanies the use of crank. You know, I immediately, when I read that, associated this with the characteristics of hell. You know, there are some who are still trapped in these living hells on this earth, where there's no peace and no joy and no true rest. And these are the precious ones that I want to reach and that I want to speak to, and because I was there once. And again, what I've been commissioned to share is this, that there's a way out of that peaceless, joyless, restless existence. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Psalm 85:8 says, "I will listen to what God will say. Surely the Lord will declare peace to his people, his godly ones, and not let them go back to foolish ways." There are better things for believers, and there is real eternal peace with God, and there is the real and lasting peace of God. So, talk a little bit about this peace. You know, the peace with God comes as a result of what we've talked about: repentance, salvation, and surrendering to Christ. Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. That's in Colossians 1:20. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. So apart from salvation in Christ, there's no such thing as peace with God. So folks have to try and find it other places, because we ultimately do have a desire for these things. And as born again children of God, we do have the peace of God. Sometimes I think we can, and I catch myself spending quite a bit of time in prayer, asking God for that which he's already gifted to us. You know, if you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, you have peace with God, and you possess the peace of God, because the Prince of Peace resides in you. Psalm 119:165 says, "Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble." And one more, Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you."
The desire for peace is universal amongst many people. Since we can remember, we've had songs about peace. In the 1960s, the peace sign and slogans like "Give Peace a Chance" became popular. And we saw a revision of that again in the 80s with celebrities banding together to sing "We Are the World" and other campaigns. And we see it somewhat reviving now as people are searching for escape from the uncertainties and instability of the global order. But can we ever truly accomplish peace apart from God? And if so, then based on what? Without an anchor to God's word, everyone has their own idea of what is moral. And so, like the book of Judges, people will do what is right in their own eyes. I like what gotquestions.org says about peace. They say the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, is often used in reference to an appearance of calm and tranquility of individuals, groups, and nations. The Greek word, irene, means unity and accord. Paul uses irene to describe the objective of the New Testament church. But the deeper, more foundational meaning of peace is the spiritual harmony brought about by an individual's restoration with God.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting how, throughout this great adversity in our time, we have an opportunity?
Yes.
Many of us have been praying for a revival. And many of us have been praying for a form of awakening where the lost will be saved. Well, here is an answer to that prayer.
Amen.
I'm not making light of the suffering by any means. It's tragic. I'm certainly not making light of the challenges that it puts all of us into. But even more tragic is that it often takes suffering, folly, and loss of our securities, and even an encounter with death to wake us up.
Yeah.
Suddenly, those of us, with the exception of essential workers, those of us who had little to no time to read our Bible, well, now we have time to read our Bible. And those of us who felt like there was no time to pray, we now have time to pray.
Amen.
And those of us who were too busy and spread thin to teach and disciple our children, now we have time. We have time unlike we've never had before. If we can't do this now, then what has this really been about? What are the real barriers to our relationship with God? Of course, I'm not pointing this out in a way to accuse or be judgmental by any means. It just seems that so many are seeking peace and rest and joy, and the answers they get are only temporary because the barrier is actually an underlying issue that we need to address. All of us need to address. And there comes a point where the sun sets or the kids are out of the house. A morning opens up and with it, an opportunity. I'm not claiming that reading our Bible, fellowshipping with the Lord is easy, but is it really, really that hard? Nor am I claiming that I know how to do everything perfectly. Seriously, far from it. But we have to be honest with ourselves. How are we spending our time? I have to be honest with myself. How am I spending my time? What am I giving to the Lord?
Those are legitimate questions. The peace of God ruling and reigning in and through our lives can be such a stark contrast to the constant, what I call drama addiction. Again, I remember being so lost and my mind was so tormented that there was no way I could calm my thoughts down to even think about reading anything, much less reading the Bible. That would have never occurred to me. But once I became a believer, I began forming new habits, which were in the realm of possibility now because there came a peace that I cannot fully explain or describe, which calmed my thought life, making slowing down and sitting still, reading and meditating on God's word and the desire for spiritual truths and food possible. Again, the more I practiced feeding myself the word and praying, the more I began to crave that, and more I began longing for the truth and longing for his peaceful presence and the many spiritual benefits of learning and living the promises of God.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really do believe that if we pray and ask the Lord to help us to get to a place to where we crave his word and crave time with him, I don't think that comes naturally for a lot of us, probably most of us. I know it doesn't always come natural for me. It's more of mind over matter and discipline. But I know I have had evidence in my own life. You know, I wanted to feel that way. And I felt bad that I didn't feel that way just naturally. You know, I'm a believer. Shouldn't I just wake up and just want and can't wait to get in your word and to pray? And I didn't necessarily feel that way, but I wanted to. So I've learned that if I pray and ask the Lord to help me, and yes, I come in with the discipline, he won't necessarily just majestically blanket me with suddenly I can't get enough. And you know, I keep running in there to study his word or to pray, but he will give me circumstances and will bless anytime I try.
Amen.
In great measure. And so I think that's so wonderful that, as you said, that you practice feeding yourself the word and praying, and therefore you did that action and God blessed you by creating in you this desire, this crave for it, this longing. And as a result, just a sense of his peaceful presence, that peace that we're talking about.
Yeah, amen.
See, our walk with the Lord is all about sacrifice. And sometimes I've actually heard it said this way, that we generally have a tendency to think of sacrifice as very dramatic, like we have to give our life in order for it to be sacrifice. I think we lose out if we only think of it that way. It sometimes might feel like a sacrifice to discipline yourself to sit still and open your Bible. And I think that's absolutely legitimate. I felt that way. And the reality is there's going to be times I will feel that way again. And that's the way it is. And it's totally a sacrifice of self, that dying to self daily. And Christ was the ultimate example of what it means to sacrifice oneself. He was the ultimate sacrifice. So we have this image of Christ who gave himself as a sacrifice. And in return, we can express gratitude and thankfulness for his atonement. We can willingly sacrifice ourselves. Lord, is that all you want from me? For all that, that's all you want from me? That's kind of how I feel about it. Okay, I can do that. I can, you know, get on up and get to it, you know. In that relationship is where we begin to see his promises, including the promise of peace, unfold.
Stay tuned right after this.
A lot of prayer, work, and effort goes into this podcast. And while our goal is not to exalt ourselves or even to become widely known, we can always use help to aid us in covering our cost. We created this podcast to encourage women to open their Bibles and rediscover the great Lord. It's our first ambition to faithfully seek, follow, and obey the Lord in every step. And it's under his authority we recognize the responsibility of good and faithful stewardship. We purposefully do not have an advertising or sponsorship program. The advertising you hear on this podcast are resources we personally use and want to advocate for. Every one of them have been prayerfully chosen, and we do not charge to promote them. Occasionally, we'll share a product we're using and get a small commission. However, still, we will only vet a product that we can truly say we recommend. So while we've not created this podcast to make money, we understand that one may want to bless us with a financial gift. This is truly a blessing for us, as it takes a lot to keep this program running. If you'd like to donate, please visit seekingholy.fm and click on the heart in the upper right-hand corner. We appreciate your contribution.
For some of us, we've totally got this down. I understand some ladies are listening to this and they've got it down, and that's awesome. We have it down, at least for today anyway. But for anyone who may be wrestling with, why can't I feel his peace?
Yeah, we could say the opposite of peace is anxiety, or just feeling anxious, uncertain, frustrated, or even afraid.
Right, right, exactly. So let's just take a few minutes to talk about, okay, if you're not feeling his peace, what is it that's keeping you from that? And some of the things I'm going to address, they may apply to you. And if not, praise God. You know, the lack of experiencing God's peace can really make somebody feel disheveled, rejected, and even doubtful.
Yeah.
My sisters, though, I mean, we are meant to walk in victory. If God makes a promise in his word, you can know that it is his will, or he has proclaimed it.
Amen.
Yet there are a few factors that come into play as to why one may not be experiencing his peace. And it's important to address these from the get-go. And if you're listening, and again, if these don't relate to where you're at today, let's just be thankful and humbly ask for his strength to keep that going. So here are five potential reasons, and I'm going to move through them fairly quickly. Number one, inconsistency as a believer. Two, insincerity in worship. Three, indulgence of other things. Four, inappropriate thinking or behaving, i.e. sin. And five, influence of the world. So number one, inconsistency as a believer. I think we're addressing this often in this podcast. The idea is to develop an intimate personal relationship with God through his word, prayer, and walking uprightly towards holiness. Consistency, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is an agreement or harmony of parts or features to one another or a whole, correspondence. Okay, well, we've got it straight from the dictionary. It is not meeting every morning at exactly 5 a.m. and spending exactly 1 hour reading exactly 5 chapters of the Bible, praying the Lord's Prayer perfectly and checking it off your list.
Wow.
And now, if that works for you and you're able to grow your personal relationship with Christ that way, by all means, go do your thing, honey. I'm just stating that that in itself is not the only image of what being consistent looks like. So we all have to find out what consistency is for us and keep trucking.
Yeah. Yes.
So addressing number two, insincerity in worship, I need to be careful here. This is a tough one for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. When we worship, who are we thinking of? Are we thinking of ourselves, or are we exalting our Lord in everything that we do? And of course, worship can be anything, not just music. It could be as simple as everything we do, the mundane things like scraping crusted jelly off your kitchen floor with a spatula. I'm speaking for a friend, to his glory. No task is too menial to him if our thoughts are towards him. Hmm. So yes, worship. Who are we thinking of? And are we thinking of, here's a tough one. And I have found myself here and have to catch myself. And I'd say, I'm sorry, Lord, help me to reframe in thinking about what I want. You know, there's seasons in my life where I had something in mind that, oh, I just so desperately wanted to have or to be out of this adversity. I was so tired of it. And if, you know, I had to be careful, I had to catch myself quite a few times that, Jess, you're kind of beginning to put this ahead of him. He is still who he is, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he is worthy of our praise.
Yes.
He is worthy of our attention and our surrender of everything that we have and are. With that, I'm going to move on to number three, the indulgence of other things. Okay. I feel like I'm being a little harsh here, but I just feel like saying, do I really need to explain this one? I mean, I'm talking to myself. I know when I'm indulging overall, because there's an internal nudge. You know, we are not our own. However, there are times when we may not see it, but we can guard ourselves by asking the Lord to show us if there's anything in the way, and he will highlight it for us. And I'm so grateful for the times that God has highlighted it for me. There are a lot of things that I could feel, that I could sense. Like I just said, there was this internal nudge, but every once in a while, there's something that you just have no idea. It's almost like as if it's in a blind spot. But if it hadn't been for the Lord's good grace, of course, after I ask him for highlighting it, I might not have ever seen it. And who knows the repercussions of those things, even the little things.
That's right.
Number four, inappropriate thinking or behaving. This is one we really don't like to camp out on. I've heard this from multiple sources and it gets me every time. And it's regarding sin. That sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay.
Definitely. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sin. We all have to deal with sin. It creeps up. When it's there, we have to. I know what helps me is just consistently doing a self audit and, you know, taking that to the Lord. Is there anything, you know, and the idea here is that we are going through these things so that we can seek peace and even rest and joy all day. But if we have some of these things in our way, we're never going to fully arrive there. And that's why we're taking the time to go through these real quick.
Yeah, my pastor used to say to keep a short sin list, and would always remind us of 1 John 1:9. You know, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. We can hang on to his promises. We can grab a hold of them. And of course, that's important that we deal with sin so that we are walking uprightly. We are blameless in his sight. We are pursuing him.
Amen.
And he lavishes his blessings on us. Amen. So here's the last one, the influence of the world. And almost feel like I'm not going to win the popularity trophy here. Well, pointing this out. But somebody needs to say it, and I guess I will say it. What is up with all of the trendy worldly Christianity? I've totally been a part of this movement in my lifetime. I've walked in it. I've been there, and it's so hard when you're walking in it to see really what's the problem, you know, because there's so much that is good or seems so good, but you can have something that seems good, but if there is a portion of it that is not, you know, it's not wholly good. Probably the greatest lie that I believed is that we can penetrate the world by being basically like everyone else, but we choose things like, I'm not going to curse, and I'm going to donate to the poor. I'll do some good things, and I'm not going to work on Sundays. But we watch the same stuff, guilty, listen to the same stuff, again, guilty, and we say we're different. We're set apart. Yet we fail to separate ourselves, and our pursuit of the world actually becomes our own bondage. And again, I've been guilty of that. I didn't see it. But we are commanded in God's word to be separate of the world. And that's so, so important in this whole theme of seeking holy and seeking holiness. It's this idea of being set apart, our eyes fixed on Jesus, all of it, not just the cool parts. I don't know. It's tough. But I'll say a couple of years ago, in fact, this church just celebrated the anniversary. The church that we attended before we moved a lot because we're military, but this church was struck by a tornado, like destroyed. And fortunately, no one was in the building when it happened, but yes, the building was destroyed and we had no building. Well, of course, this attracted the attention of the local news, and the church really took on a wonderful attitude about how the church is not about a building. And a great reminder, really, for times like these, while we're in quarantine, right? Well, another church offered a building for us to meet, and we had our first service after the tornado. And because of the story, and probably I'd say a lot to the leaders of the church who had a great attitude about it, it was a little bit different in the fabric of society. Several news outlets were there. And at this particular service, I happened to be on the front row because my husband was playing drums and he was already on the platform when we got inside. Then after the service, a couple of reporters were getting media permissions for the people on the front row, including myself. And wouldn't you know it, that the next day, the paper comes out. And who is plastered on the front page in color and full on hands in the air worship? Yours truly.
Wow.
Here's the thing, though. I was so upset, embarrassed, actually, is the better term. I went through all of these thoughts after discovering, what if so-and-so saw me? And what if this gets out and other people no longer think I'm smart or capable or intellectual, but crazy? Yeah. Like, why did they have to choose me? I just remember feeling this frustration because I used to be a TV host and I got to be on camera all the time. Well, many a people would have loved to have been on the front page of the paper. And here I am in this very personal, very open display. And I'm just like, why me?
Wow, yeah.
But really, really looking at it, what was my problem? Why was I ashamed? I have one foot still in the world and one in the church. And I was trying to appease both sides when it was convenient for me, when it was comfortable, staying where it felt comfortable for me. Now, there are Christian trends, so to speak, and I'm not going to get into this and camp out or take a platform for that right now at this time, but there are a lot of voices displaying that you can, in fact, do both.
Wow.
Yet this incident highlighted my compromise. It put a huge spotlight on it. God put a huge spotlight on it in my heart. I was convicted. It revealed to me how much I had grown comfortable representing Christianity where I felt comfortable, and with those I felt comfortable with, I could be all encouraging and looking to the scriptures and edifying and walking uprightly. And yet outside of that, you know, to the world, to my business acquaintances, I was ashamed and neutral at best. And I tell you, God really worked on that for me for a good 2 months. And I had to repent and work to press into the Lord. So if any of us are battling any of these five things, struggling with inconsistency, insincerity, self-indulgence, sin, worldly influence, instead of experiencing God's peace, oh, ladies, let us deal with it today. Fight for your freedom from it in prayer. You can do that. God has given you prayer. He's filled you with the Holy Spirit. So break off your chains. Recognize it, repent, and return back to your Lord, who lovingly has work for you to do for his kingdom.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks, Jess, for being vulnerable with us like that. It was just a great example. And I know that you're not alone in this. I'm immediately thinking of Peter in the scriptures, you know, the account of him allowing those around him and the threat of persecution, frankly, in danger to influence his response to admitting the truth that he knew, that he loved, and that he walked with Jesus. Again, thinking of Good Friday last week, I'm just extremely mindful of the events and those involved in those events directly prior to and leading up to Jesus's crucifixion and his eventual resurrection, and many specifics on my mind, but one in particular, this brings to mind. And last year it was Simon the Cyrene, you know, who literally, you know, helped Jesus carry his cross that captivated me. But this year it's Peter. And so before Jesus made his way to the Mount of Olives, just prior to the road to Calvary and the cross, he speaks to Peter, predicting, you know, that he would deny him, but also he declared that he was praying for him, and he prophesied his restoration later. So Luke 22, 31 through 34, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." "Lord," he told him, "I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." "I tell you, Peter," he said, "the rooster will not crow today until you deny me three times that you know me." So this account, you know, like you were sharing, Jess, you know, it's sobering. It's devastating. It's also encouraging, though. You know, we like to think, like Peter, we would never act this way or deny Christ by our words or actions or how we even treat others. Peter did, though, deny the Lord three times, just as Jesus told him he would. Peter told him with determination and, you know, presumptuously, Matthew 26, 35, "Even if I have to die with you," he told him, "I'll never deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. And yet Peter does deny the Lord. And it says that he wept bitterly because of this. Luke 22, 54 through 62, "They seized him, Jesus, and they led him away, and they brought him into the high priest's house. And meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. And they lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together. And Peter sat among them. And when a servant saw him sitting in the firelight and looked closely at him, she said, 'This man was with him too.' But he denied it, 'Woman, I don't know him.' And after a little while, someone else saw him and said, 'You're one of them too.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, 'This man was certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I don't know what you're even talking about.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter." So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. And so there's these situations that we all face at some point or another that come, which, you know, take us off guard or by surprise even. These can prompt fear or pride, and it's a tendency we have toward pleasing men or caring more about what others think and saving our own skin, so to speak. Even like the situation of those that Jess was talking about in prison for their faith, or with Peter facing fear of losing his own life. These unexpected situations can not only trip us up and dampen our sincere worship, they place us in positions of temptation and sin, and it ultimately steals from the peace and the joy and the rest that we're talking about in the Lord. Praise God, however, Jesus already knows these situations are coming, and he tries to prepare us. He prepared Peter, and he knows that we're going to fail at certain points. But after reading this entire account with Peter, we learn that Jesus intercedes for us too, and he restores us. And when we turn back or we repent, he has plans for us to minister to others. So Jesus restored and recommissioned Peter after the resurrection, including telling him the price that he would pay for following and the way he would die. In John 21, it says he was going to strengthen his brothers. There may need to occur in our own lives this admittance and repentance and restoration. However, there is a price that we can't forget to following and maintaining obedience and allegiance to Jesus. There's going to be temptations, you know, to deny our love for and sincere relationship with our Lord. How we respond can determine whether we walk in peace or pride, fear, discouragement, and anxiety. Are we still worried about what people will think of us and what they're going to say about us? Are we overly afraid of what will happen to us? Afraid of wavering between who we're going to serve and what we are going to surrender to? In Revelation 12:11, I often quote this before I share my story on occasions. And we are familiar with the first part of this scripture, but listen as I quote the whole thing. So it says, "They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And here it is, "For they did not love their lives in the face of death." Are we ashamed of Christ and his gospel and making it known to others in public? And when we are put on the spot, is this affecting our peace? If so, how long will we waver? James 1:8, "An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways." But the Bible exhorts us to choose this day who we're going to serve.
Amen. Peace is not something we can create or grasp solely on our own, but it is a byproduct of abiding with Christ. In Galatians 5:22, we see that peace is actually a fruit of the Spirit. And according to the Blue Letter Bible, there is a clear distinction between works and fruits of the Spirit. And it says, "Works are works, and fruit is fruit. Fruit has several important characteristics. Fruit isn't achieved by working, but is birthed by abiding. Fruit is fragile. Fruit reproduces itself. Fruit is attractive. And lastly, fruit nourishes. This peace is peace with God, peace with people, and it is a positive peace, filled with blessing and goodness, not simply the absence of fighting. It is a higher peace than just what comes when everything is calm and settled. This is a peace of God which surpasses all understanding, as quoted in Philippians 4:7. So as we talk this week about peace, about rest, and about joy, you'll hear us speak on abiding in Christ a lot, as this seems to be where we keep coming to in the scriptures as we dig into, what is peace?
Yes.
What does rest mean in this context?
And how is joy defined? As we seek to abide in Christ, in His Word, and in our conversational prayer, we'll discover peace, that shalom, and we can most certainly pray for it. God delights in us asking for His peace, or for anything for that matter. I also find that peace is one of those things that I have to pray for probably the most. And I just can't express into words how true that is. Whether it be as dramatic and big as God's peace through a trial, or navigating a decision through a storm, or really it's the more often prayed, please help my boys have favor with one another and stop fighting types of peace I'm desperately needing in the moment. And girl, that is true, because I feel like that is, I pray for these things often, but probably the one that I find myself that I just keep having to come to. I want to say hammer. I don't know if that's the right word, but it is things like that. Help my boys have favor with each other. Please bring peace into our home, that we're not, that they're not quarreling with each other, or, you know, little things like that. It's the menial day-to-day things that can be so challenging.
Yes.
But no matter why we're in need of or searching for peace, no need is too small for our great and generous Lord, who loves to lavish His greatness on His daughters as we ask Him. And we thank you for tuning in. Join us tomorrow for the next segment, Rest in Times of Trouble.
If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe so you can be notified when new episodes are released. Also, please feel free to rate and review our podcast and share it with all your friends.
Thank you for spending your time with us. We hope you're leaving with a deepening fascination to fellowship with the one who has created you for His purpose and desires to show you more of His goodness every day.